All things considered, and Lee, I'm going to say it right now, and I don't care if Port Richie Lou sends out a hit squad against me.
Buccaneers fans, Tampa Bay is 1-1, but the sage of Tampa Bay sports is always undefeated on this podcast. He is the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County, and Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Sage, how are you?
I'm downright giddy, Mr. Isbitz. Giddy. Lee, that's a word I don't often use on this podcast, but I'm telling you, I'm in an anticipatory mode. I fully expect the Bucks to be 2-1, and I think there's a good chance they're going to be in first place in this division by the end of the weekend. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think they might have learned a lesson last week about letting a bad team hang around. Let's hope they did. I think if they catch some of those balls, it's a runaway. I'm looking for them to go up to Denver, give them a Rocky Mountain low. This is a bad football team. I'm a little surprised they've been so competitive the last 2 weeks. They weren't very good when they were healthy. Now they're not. So I'm giddy. Mr. Isbitz, I'm giddy. I'm getting ahead of myself. I know what Mr. Arian said to me on the Zoom call. We can't take anybody for granted, but Steve, if you're a team like you profess to be, an 11-5 team, a playoff team, a possible division winner, you go to Denver and you take care of business. So, Steve, I'm giddy, and I hope you guys share in that giddiness right now.
Well, Ira, you know what? I'm going to call an audible on this podcast, Lee. I'm calling an audible because Ira is so giddy. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but first I want to remind everybody that Bill Curry Ford is a great friend of ours. The company, the family there, general manager Sean Sullivan, they will take care of you like family, and the family you like, not the family you don't like. They'll take care of you, and Sean Sullivan will help you personally. You can email him, you can call him, you can text him, you can stop in at the beautiful showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Whatever you need to purchase a vehicle, if you need some advice, if you want to get out of your lease, if you've got a trade-in, you want to price it, whatever it is, Bill Curry Ford is there for you. The September sales are phenomenal, and they end at the end of the month. We're almost at that point right now. They got to get rid of the 2020s with all the 2021s rolling in. Get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Ira, Lee, the audible I'm calling is, we're making our picks first, Ira, since you opened up talking about the Bucks win. Just let it keep rolling, Ira. Why are they going to win? What's the score going to be? And then we'll go around the horn.
How the hell are the Broncos going to score points against this team? They got no weapons. They lost their best receiver. Melvin Gordon doesn't scare anybody, with the exception of Mrs. Gordon. And what the heck do they have? They got Jeff Driscoll, you know, some Gator reject who ended up playing for another college at the end of his college career. The guy's got one NFL win as a starter. And he better not get number two Sunday against the Bucks. Lee, I'm sold on this defense. I think they've played 8 good games in a row. They weren't great last week, but I'll take 4 takeaways and 5 sacks to suggest that the defense had a good day. And I don't see what Denver brings to the table. I'm sorry, I just don't see it. You know, their other back, Lindsey's all banged up. Of course, we haven't even mentioned Von Miller on the other side of the ball. I know what you're going to say, gentlemen. They've played 2 tough games against Tennessee and Pittsburgh, but I'm not buying it. The Bucks win this game. You don't want to score, do you, Mr. Isbitz?
Absolutely, Ira. Put your knishes on the table.
27-13 visitors. Bucks win this game, and if they don't, this 1-2 start is totally unacceptable.
Wow, you're way down on the Broncos, Ira. The Broncos were like a dark horse for me to make the playoffs this year. I'm big on the Broncos. Now, granted, they've been beat up, but when you're asking about where are their weapons, Ira, you haven't been paying attention. They got Jerry Jeudy. They got Hamlin from Penn State. I'm still a Melvin Gordon guy. I thought he played well against the Titans, and that's a good defense they played against. It hung with Pittsburgh. Driscoll has more 20-yard completions than your supposedly beloved Pat Mahomes. You would have named your dog after Pat Mahomes if you're such a Chiefs fan, or if you're such a Pat Mahomes fan. But you didn't. I'll always hold that against you, Ira. Do I think the Bucs win? Yeah, but I think it's going to be a nail-biter. And by the way, there was something Arian said yesterday that, to me, jumped out at me. A whole hell of a lot more than Gronk's targets. You know, that was the big thing. Gronk's targets. Pat McAfee's blowing it up. ESPN's blowing it up. NFL Network. What about Gronk? Is Gronk happy? Is Gronk hacked off? Is Gronk going to leave the Bucs? Is, you know, all this Gronk stuff and tight ends. Not that that's inaccurate. But what Arian said that jumped out to me more than anything was Mike Evans still isn't 100%. Now, he didn't say his hamstring's messed up, but it's endurance. It's stamina because he's missed so much practice time because of the hamstring. Well, what's the big issue in Denver? Guys, you run out of gas because of that altitude. I think that's a big, you know, if Evans still doesn't have 100% stamina, if it's a close game in the fourth quarter, that scares the heck out of me because that's when you need him. But I do believe the injuries are going to catch up with Denver. I mean, they are beat up to heck. The only team that's even that's worse is the 49ers. 27-24 Bucks. But I think it's going to be very close. I'm a big Vic Fangio fan. I think their defense is sound and solid. I think they've got weapons in the passing game. I hope they get the Driscoll because I'm not huge on the Broncos' offensive line. Their starting right tackle sat out the season because of the COVID, if I remember right. And they've got some injuries up front. They have a rookie guard that apparently is struggling. So I expect Vita Vea and Sue to chew him up and spit him out. But I think it's going to be a close game. I'm not down on the Broncos like Ira is. Ira's acting like they're the Dolphins or something. Whoa!
Nobody is going to argue with me on this. Nobody dares argue with me. When you look at the two rosters and you factor in the Denver injuries and you look at the rosters, who's available Sunday, there's absolutely no comparison between the talent level on these two rosters, Steve. So if they lose, shame on the coaching staff for not putting these guys in a position to win. There's no comparison, Isbits.
All right, Sage. Well, I've got a pick. I'm not sure if it's going to...
Passion from Ira.
Passion everywhere from the Sage. Lee, very passionate as well. Ira, we've got you down as... I'm sorry, Lee, it was 27-24 Bucks. Is that correct? Yes. And Ira, were 27-13 Bucks. Correct?
Yes.
Well, Ira, Sunday, you will be with Buccaneers fans at Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Clearwater, watching the game. That simple. They have a beautiful indoor area, the gorgeous inside tap room with all the TVs and all the stuff you want, very modern. But there's also a fully covered outdoor area where we had a great time 2 weeks ago. It won't even be as hot this Sunday. They've got the giant fans going, all open air, socially distanced. Beautiful sound system, Wi-Fi, TVs, the Big Storm beer, the best craft beer around. It's flowing. The menu's phenomenal. Ira, it's going to be a good time. We've got giveaways, more Brady jerseys, all that stuff. Big Storm's kicking in. We're building something here at Big Storm. It's a lot of fun. You will be out there. Anybody can say hello to you at a nice distance. No selfies yet, but the Sage will stand on a picnic table, and he will pose. Not a problem. He will pose. And he'll tell you how great he is at fantasy football. It's a great time. The tap room opens at 11. Bucks kickoff is 4:25. Ira's going to roll in about 2:30. And we'll do it all again, Ira.
Lee, if the Bucks are struggling on Sunday, the brumosas are going to have to keep flowing. And that's okay. The tropic pressure, the tropic pressures. And, you know, people were buying me drinks 2 weeks ago. I expect the same on Sunday if you're listening, Buck fans. I'm hitting the brisket hard on Sunday. I'm just letting I'm letting the kitchen know. Stock up, baby. Stock up.
There you go. On Instagram, Big Storm Brewing put up on their Instagram account, they're installing the AstroTurf for the outdoor patio, the covered patio.
All right, Ira. Well, Sunday, you will also be seen on Fox 13's Tailgate Sunday at 10:30 for Scott Smith's Tailgate Sunday. So people can look for you before they head out to Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Just going to be such a great time. Now, Ira, my pick. The Buccaneers are a talented team. I'm not sold on the defense, but I'm sold that this defense is going to just annihilate the Broncos. Jeff Driskel came in as a backup in the middle of the game. The other team didn't prepare for him. It's a little different situation. Now, I think this is a totally different layup here for Driskel. The Bucks are going to blitz the hell out of him. I'm not sure he's going to hold up. And the Broncos O-line is poor. If the Buccaneers are anything close to what we think they are, I think they're going to have an easy time here. I'm going Buccaneers 33, Broncos 16.
Bravo for you, Steve. Lee, one more, two things about you, DeKemper. One, you mentioned a couple of young receivers. Lee, you're the guy that says I'm not big on potential. So let me see you do it. Lee, guys like Judy, they haven't done it. So we shall see. We shall see. My second point, and Buck fans will relate to this, their right tackle, as Lee mentioned, he's struggling big time. A lot of people are clamoring for Damar Dotson. At least he's a veteran. And
Damar, but clamoring?
He's not bad in pass protection. And Steve, if if Shaq Barrett comes off the left side and abuses that right tackle in the first half of the game, Damar Dotson has not gotten on the field, gentlemen. Not one snap through two games. And I think if things go according to plan, the way Steve and I think it will, I think you're going to see Dotson in that game, at least in the second half.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. All right, Ira, one thing that happened this past week that we didn't get to on the previous podcast, and you can listen to that at Apple Podcasts, at JoeBucksFan.com. Google Play is still alive. It's also at Google Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. Leonard Fournette talked to Rich Eisen, Ira, and one thing that was very interesting about Fournette, he said that Tom Brady gave him a phone call once he was released from the Jaguars, that he got a direct phone call from Tom Brady. Now, Fournette tried to downplay it a little bit, saying, I got a lot of calls from a lot of players and teams, but he was clear that Brady called him on a recruiting phone call. What do you make of that? How interesting is that? And do you think basically Jason Light walks over to Tom Brady and says, here's Leonard Fournette's phone number. Do you work your magic?
It's another example of the benefits that you reap by landing the one and only Tom Brady. And I say that because there's nobody like him. There's just nobody like him. Phillip Rivers is not Tom Brady. Teddy Bridgewater is not Tom Brady. Doesn't bring that cachet. And Lee, if you're a guy like Fournette, you've done some things in this league. You're an established player. You've had two 1,000-yard seasons out of three. And then you get the phone call from the man, Lee, from the man. Not from Jason Light. Not from Mike Greenberg. not from Carlton Davis. From the man. And, and you're trying to decide where the heck you want to end up. And Lee, I dare say that Brady didn't say, well, you'll start out and, you'll be fourth on the depth chart. And after 2 months, you'll work your way up a little bit. Of course, Brady didn't say that. Brady said, we need you. You could be the final piece in the puzzle. You're going to be our guy. And he promised him the moon. And when a guy like Brady makes that call, Lee, how the heck do you say no? I mean, it's another fringe benefit and a heck of a one from Landon Brady. The gifts keep on coming, Lee.
My favorite phrase that you use, Ira, I'm going to cop it here. Tom Brady has clout. And so, like you said, when Brady calls, it has has meaning. Look, all the stud wide receivers always wanted to play for the Patriots. Yeah. When they wigged out with their teams, and obviously Antonio Brown's the biggest name that comes to mind. They all want to play for Brady.
Randy Moss.
He was traded. It wasn't like that was his, if that was his call to go to New England, but he was traded. Whereas, Antonio Brown, he made himself such an ass with the Raiders that they had to get rid of him. You're out of here. We can't handle you anymore. And he did that on purpose so he can go to the Patriots. So now Brady's with the Bucks. All of a sudden he's got, Shady McCoy. I don't think it's a coincidence that Brady's here. If Brady's not here, I don't think Shady's here. Matter of fact, if Brady's not here, there's a lot of guys I don't think are here. I don't think Sue's here. I don't think Gronk's here. Quite possibly JPP's not here. Brady has a magnetism about him that guys want to play with him, want to play for him, because generally, you got Brady, that generally means you're going to win.
Yeah.
Guys like to win.
You know, we talked about it in March, Steve. We thought that Brady's arrival would change everything. Now, look, this is a 1-1 football team right now. They're 1-1. There's plenty of 2-0 teams right now. But it looks like it has changed everything as long as they stay focused and take care of business in a game like Sunday and I dare say the following week against the Chargers, who, you know, outplayed the Chiefs. I'll give them credit. I thought they outplayed them.
And, guys, I don't want to digress too much, but that Anthony Lynn call in overtime, fourth and one, midfield, he punts to Pat Mahomes when all they need is a field goal. Look, if they needed a touchdown, you know, I could say fine. Pin them back and make them go 85 yards for a touchdown. I mean, then I think the odds are probably in your favor. But, you know, with a kicker like that, Lee, if he's not the best kicker in the league, he's in the conversation with Justin Tucker and Lutz or whatever. He might be the best. Terrible decision by Lynn. Their offensive line was pushing the Chiefs around all game. Lee, fourth and one, you don't have any confidence you can make it. There's no way the Chargers should have lost that game, and that decision by Lynn just capped off a disastrous day for a Charger team. It's not bad because all of a sudden that rookie quarterback looked darn good, Lee.
Well, you sort of took the words out of my mouth. Ira, I was going to say the fourth and one, it wasn't like he had to rely on Tyrod Taylor.
No question about it.
His rookie was on fire. You drafted him first round for a reason. What, fifth overall? I mean, come on. And it's like.
And, Steve, when you make a decision like that and it blows up in your face like that, the players lose a little confidence in you. They just played their tails off against the defending NFL champs. And, you know, you pull a stunt like that where you don't show any confidence in your offense to get – it wasn't fourth and five. And, you know, that's a nail in the Charger coffin. And that's not bad news for Buck fans because they're coming to Ray J in 10 days.
All right, Irish. Shifting gears a tiny little bit here. Now, Justin Watson, we thought he might have injured his wrist during the last game against Carolina, but he shows up with a bad shoulder on the injury report yesterday, Wednesday, and he did not practice, so he's got a bad shoulder. Scotty Miller appears out of nowhere on the injury list, limited in practice with a groin hip injury or two injuries. It's not clear. And we know Godwin had the concussion issue that might have been a little more serious than most, given that he missed a game and the symptoms showed up later. And we know Evans isn't 100%. Does this maybe spur the Bucs to think a little bit more about, or at least maybe knock it from the furthest reaches of the back of their heads to maybe a little bit farther closer to the top with Antonio Brown or with any other receiver that might be on the market?
You're reaching, Isbitz. You're reaching. I mean, even for you, this is a reach. Now, come on.
I'm not reaching. I'm asking you.
Well, I'm telling you, Godwin is suiting up on Sunday. And he's catching six balls for 89 yards. Now, Evans is going to play Sunday. He's going to get five for a buck 11. You're worried about Justin Watson like he's, the second coming of Lance Allworth. You're talking about a fourth receiver. It's driving you nuts. Meanwhile, the Broncos don't have their number one receiver. The Bucs have all kinds of weapons. And by the way, now with the revitalized ground game, based on last week, Brady doesn't have to throw 42 balls. Let him throw 27. You're picking up a straw man over here, Isbitz, and I'm not going to let you do it. The Bucs, all things considered, and Lee, I'm going to say it right now, and I don't care if Port Richie Lou sends out a hit squad against me. The Bucs have been incredibly fortunate through two games when you see what's happened around the league. Godwin missed one game. Okay, he did. The defense is basically intact. The offensive line's fine. Where are the Buck injuries, Lee? I don't see it. And instead, Isbitz is trying to, plead for an infirmary over here. Hey, well, it's not working, Steve. It's not working.
I think he's onto something here. We know Evans isn't 100%. Shoot, I just spoke about Arians said stamina may be an issue for him because he missed so much practice time. Scotty Miller is not healthy. Not that Scotty Miller is Hines Ward or something, but Brady likes him. That's Brady's new BFF. Godwin, of course, the concussion. And then this Watson's hurt. So now you're looking at the Cyril Grayson. Who would to quote thousands of Bucks fans, including Ian Beckles, who the hell is Cyril Grayson? And what's he doing on Mike Evans' field?
Lee, if you got all these issues at wide receiver, you turn to your very talented and very expensive tight end core. How do you like that? How do you like that, gentlemen? Steve, by the way, Mike Evans is so banged up that he completely dominated the first half of last week's game. I hate to think what he'd do if he was healthy.
Ira, you're going crazy over here. I just asked you a question. Yeah, I'm not floating theories here. I asked you a question. You know these people, the players. People want your wisdom. A lot of people are concerned that through all four Bucks wide receivers are banged up. You know, maybe they're just a little fragile this year. I don't know.
I just don't see where they're banged up, where Godwin's over the concussion protocol.
They're banged up. All right, Ira. We're pleased about that. But you have given us your wisdom, and now we're happy. Okay? So
you can't get these things past me, Isbits. You just can't do it. You can't do it.
Ira, Buccaneers fans were celebrating all across town after that gorgeous victory, and some people even were throwing things in ecstasy. And things go to different parts of your house when you throw things, and you might see some mold that you didn't know was even there. What do you do?
Steve, only you can link a Buck victory to a mold problem. Only you. But if you do have a mold problem, you cannot hesitate. You must pick up the phone and call Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come out there. They're going to check out the scene. If it's minor, they're going to say it's minor. These people are trustworthy. But if it is a problem, you got to jump on it right away, and they'll give you an honest assessment of what's going on. The biggest point is you can't fool around with mold. You got to attack it quickly.
Yes, or a leak, water, you don't know where it's coming from. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Our friend Josh Martin over there, he will be buying Bucks fans a beer, a Big Storm beer at Big Storm Brewing Company, the tap room in Clearwater, for our October 25th watch party, Sunday night, Buccaneers in Vegas. So we're excited. Florida's Elite Restoration, that is who you call if you have any kind of serious problem in your home.
You must pick up the phone and call Florida's Elite Restoration. These people are trustworthy.
All right, Ira. Now, one thing Clyde Christensen said talking to the media is he really dove into the fact that, and his quote, that football and the Bucs are 24-7 for Brady. And he said that's really how it was with Peyton Manning, and they're very similar. 24-7. Christensen even said, that includes Saturdays. It includes Sunday before the game. He said, yeah, Brady will have a nice dinner. He'll take a little time for that, but that's about it. That's exciting because I think a lot of people thought Brady came here, he's making a documentary, and he's not really into Tampa, and he's launching, these TB12 locations and all that. But I think hearing Christensen say that and just everything else we've seen, that we did really get the 100% version of Tom Brady.
I think you're absolutely right on that, Steve. And Lee, as driven as Brady was in Foxborough, where he had an incredible work ethic, Lee, I think he's taken it up a notch, if that's possible. Lee, he's born again, on the banks of Davis Island. He's born again, Lee. He's invigorated. He's got a new challenge in front of him that he's embracing. You saw him walk in the field, Lee, five freaking hours before the game last week. He's looking for divots. There's a divot at the 19-yard line. I got to remember that. Soft over here. I got to watch that. He's taken nothing for granted, Lee, and I think as a Buck fan, it's a fantastic feeling.
Well, it rubs off on his teammates, too. I can't remember who it was the week prior. They were asked, hey, did Brady take it up a notch? And he said, I think everybody did. And the insinuation was, hey, if Brady's doing it, we better follow the leader.
he's invigorated. I think that's the right word. He might have been getting a little bit stale last year, maybe even towards the end of 2018, but he won a Super Bowl. I mean, what are you going to say? Didn't play great in the Super Bowl. But last year, it kind of got to him, I think. The end of the year was horrible. You know, the pick six, and they lost one of the first two seeds by losing that inexplicable game to Miami, and just left a terrible taste in his mouth. His relationship with Belichick was fraying. And I just think everything's fresh for Brady, and I think he's having the time of his life. And I haven't said that, Steve. How about all these fools who jumped on him after week one, suggesting that he was through? Those people are going to eat crow.
I think so. But, you know, if the Bucs don't win, then they'll blame it on Brady regardless. But, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's just we've talked and had some fun with the media freak out over Brady. Oh, he's gonna cure cancer in Tampa. He's going to do all these things. And then they're ready to bury him after one game. And then now he's back. And it's a comedy show. I'm just glad to hear from any source possible that he's all in, which is the theme of the Bucs. And you know, Jason Light, he very casually dropped the other week. What was it, 2 weeks ago? He talked to the media, very casually dropped that Brady's going to play another 5 years. And maybe that was part tongue in cheek, but everybody seems to think that Brady's going to play as long as he possibly can. And I don't think the Glazers would stand in his way if that's what he wanted to do, just for the sake of all the money he's making them and going to make them.
As long as the team is successful, they'll take it as long as they can go with Brady. Now, Lee, if they're 8-8, you know, you got to reassess. But it's all about the W's. And I got no problem with a 45-year-old Tom Brady if he's still getting the job done. And more importantly, if the team's still making the playoffs, Lee.
If he's getting a job done, is the key. We all know that the salary cap is expected to drop next year. There's estimates anywhere from 10 to 15, you name it. Now, we all know the salary cap is based on revenue. Obviously, revenue is down this year because so many stadiums are empty, including our beloved Den of Depression, and other factors related to the COVID. Well, earlier this week, Bloomberg, not the guy who was trying to buy an election in Florida, but his news organization, they reported that Fox has said they will double the money they currently pay the NFL to keep the broadcast rights for the NFL. They currently pay a hair over $1 billion. That's with a B, $1 billion a year, a hair over, like 1.001. They're willing to go just over $2 billion a year to keep the NFL broadcast rights. If that's true, and I don't see any reason it isn't, I surely haven't seen any article out there saying, oh, this is a bogus story, and Bloomberg's a reliable outfit. If they're going to double their money, you figure CBS may just do that, or all the current broadcast partners in the NFL, and that's not even factoring some other new partners. Maybe Amazon wants to dip their toe a little bit more than right. Just Thursday Night Football. The international rights, you name it. It's a snowball. Do you think this drop in revenue would be very temporary, meaning maybe next year, at most the year after, because 2022 is when the new TV contracts kick in? So do you think that, you know, we all know TV revenue is such a huge piece of the pie for the NFL revenue. If all these people are talking about doubling it, I don't see the revenue dropping too much after next year, or perhaps the year after at the longest.
It's absolutely a temporary dip. Absolutely. Now, the networks are the big driver. We all know that. I haven't seen any great signs that the ratings are going to plummet in the NFL. It's temporary. Remember, guys, when Goodell took over for Tagliabue, I would say, what, maybe 12, 13 years ago, I think the revenues were maybe $6 billion, and he came up with some crazy thing. I think it could be $25 billion by 2025. Now, I don't know if he's going to reach that, but he's not going to be far off, Steve. And, of course, that benefits the players, too. They get their cut, and it's a bigger pie. So, Steve, this is not going to be a long-term problem for the National Football League. It is America's sport, whether you like it or not. Baseball's in the rearview mirror right now, And it's been that way for a heck of a long time, for a couple of generations. And, Steve, I don't see any sign of slippage. The NHL hardly makes a dent on the national scene. I mean, that's just the way it is. Is it fair? Probably not. But you watch ESPN SportsCenter, you're lucky if you can get to the Stanley Cup final highlights 30 minutes into the show. I mean, it's really ridiculous. So, Steve, yeah, a temporary dip. I don't even think it's going to be that severe in terms of the salary cap. And then these networks are going to have to up their prices, and that's just the way it is. And if Fox leads the way, the other networks are going to have to follow suit, Steve.
Sure, Ira. Look, hockey doesn't do anywhere close in the TV ratings, and there's nothing unfair about it. People watch what they want to watch, and that's it. So I don't think it's unfair. The people who love hockey, but it doesn't have that widespread appeal. And you don't have a bunch of people arguing one hockey pass, for the next week. It's just a different level of interest in the sport here in the U.S. Let me switch it up on you, Ira. Very strange answer. I don't want to spend too much time with it because it's really not that important in the grand scheme. But I thought it was very bizarre. As Lee likes to call Buccaneers coaching staff the biggest and brightest, they are the largest staff in the NFL, and Jason Light says they're A+. And yesterday I asked Clyde Christensen, what's the process for developing Josh Rosen? What's going on? What's that process? And he comes out and says, I wouldn't call it a process at all. We've really let him down, and really hasn't done much with him since he got here. We gotta straighten that out. You know, we got to get him this, we got to get him that. And, you know, he's in the meetings, but we got to do more. I thought that was very strange considering how gigantic the coaching staff is. And you would think, you know, the minute they signed Rosen, they would have had a little 1-hour meeting and said, this is his schedule. This is what we're going to do with the guy.
You know, it is a little strange, Steve. Well, you got a 43-year-old quarterback. He's unlike any other quarterback in NFL history in terms of accomplishment. We all understand that. But Lee, you pointed out on every darn podcast we've ever done, he's 43. The birth certificate doesn't lie, Lee.
No.
So he's 43 in terms of long-term effectiveness, in terms of susceptibility to injury and ability to bounce back from an injury quickly, instead of when you were 25 years old. So when you factor in all those things, now you bring in Josh Rosen. You would think you pay the guy a little attention. It sounds, Lee, like he's a complete afterthought. It sounds like this is like a way station for Josh Rosen on his way to somewhere else next year. And that's probably likely. But I don't know. If I'm the Bucs, I'm paying a little bit of attention to Josh Rosen. You know, I'm not giving him a lot of snaps, I understand. But, you know, break somebody away from that coaching staff and work with this kid, because I'm not convinced that he can't get the job done on the pro level. But as you say, Lee, he hasn't proven it. I don't think he's been given that much of a chance with a talented team around him. But it sounds like, Lee, he's there in name only, and he's certainly not going to be a factor in 2020.
But I know what you're saying, Ira. I can't fully buy he never played with any talent. I mean, didn't he play with Larry Fitzgerald? He's at the sunset of his career. I get that, but it's not like he's Cyril Grayson, let's be honest. This way I look at it. I think it was buying a lotto ticket for a dollar. That's what I think it was, the football version. They're not paying him much. We have, you know, there are some people out there that think he's going to be the successor to Brady. I'm not willing to buy that yet. You know, he's a practice squad guy. If he was anything, wouldn't he be above Ryan Griffin? I mean, Rosen has played in a whole lot more games than Griffin. Griffin's never started the game. I would think at the very least he would be a number three quarterback. But no, he's on the practice squad. It's an interesting gamble, but I'm just not ready to buy in that he's the successor to Tom Brady. It's a great Hail Mary. It's a Hail Mary. Like, you know, you're hoping he catches lightning in a bottle. Obviously, he's got some talent. Otherwise, he would have been a first-round pick. But I just... You know, he's on his third team in 3 years, and two other teams who really, really needed quarterbacks gave up on him. When he was a first-round pick with the Cardinals, and within a year, they got rid of him. That's never happened in a Super Bowl era. Never. Never has a team given up on a first-round draft pick of a quarterback in less than a year. That's never happened. Now, obviously, they were smart doing it. Look at Kyler Murray. He's lighting things up. But something tipped off the Cardinals, all the money they had invested in him, all the money they invested in research on him, to wash their hands of him in less than a year. Something happened, or they found something, or like, oh, my gosh, it was a horrible mistake. It's some, you know, teams don't do that, generally. Then Miami, oh, we don't even want him as a backup. We'll get rid of him, you know. They keep Ryan Fitzpatrick over him. I get it, you got Tua, but you couldn't even get Rosen as a number three quarterback? Really? So there's something about the guy.
This is just a curiosity, this discussion. It has no bearing on the current season. Zero.
Again, I like the investment, but I'm not holding my breath. Let's put it that way.
All right, you got it, Ira. Now, a couple of quick points, then one question, and we'll get out of here, Sage. Ndamukong Suh was on ESPN this week. He did come out and say that reason he came back to the Bucs was for a Super Bowl opportunity. He hadn't really been fully clear on that, but he was very clear when they were talking to him about Brady. So that was interesting. Also, Leonard Fournette in that chat with Rich Eisen said that he just really remarked about how Brady, quote-unquote, feels mistakes, that he makes a mistake and you can just tell how much he feels it, whether it's in practice, wherever it is, that he's just so cares so much that it, to the extreme, that it really rubs off on other guys because they haven't seen anything like that before. So I thought that was interesting. But the question for you, Ira, is in this game against Denver, we've heard your picks already, but is this the game where Gronk breaks out, or they go to Gronk and he looks better, or do you just expect same old Gronk that we've seen the last two games?
I'm starting to think it's more than rust. He doesn't have his burst, and I'm not sure that's because of rust. The separation isn't there. Not sure that's because of rust. Hopefully, he can block ferociously, and I think Arians went out of his way to credit Gronkowski's fourth quarter blocking as a big factor in Sunday's win. And you know what? If he's a heck of a blocker and catches 25 balls and 5 touchdowns, I'm okay with it. I think they got enough to overcome that. Yeah, he's overpriced, but he's a security blanket for Brady. Brady wanted him. But I think Gronk's a little disappointed in himself, Lee. Now, look, I didn't expect 2003 Gronkowski. Or 2013 Gronkowski. I didn't. But he looks a little slow, Lee. And I'm not sure it's all because of the one-year layoff. You know, his body's changed. He's not 27 anymore, and I don't think it's going to be a calamity, Lee, if Gronkowski doesn't catch a lot of balls. I'm more concerned about Howard stepping up and my guy Brait getting on the freaking football field. Lee, 11 snaps, not 11 catches, 11 snaps in 2 weeks has to. It has to have Cameron Brait wondering why he's on this football team, Lee.
Well, that's what Pat McAfee was saying about Gronkowski. He was thinking, you know, if the Bucs start losing, is Gronkowski going to make a big stink about not being used? Should he be traded? I think this is a mountain out of a molehill. And, oh, my gosh, Gronkowski's not getting targets. Well, if he was open, you don't think Brady would throw him the ball? That's number one.
Right.
Number two, as Arians pointed out, and people had a connection like that fool. He's not a fool, but I just think he's way overrated. This Orlovsky went bananas on Arians. For Arians said, well, the offense is we throw to the receivers. That's the receivers of work. Well, it's pretty well documented, number one. Number two, as I pointed out in the story, not that I'm against tight ends. I'm a big tight ends guy. But if you got two of the top 10 receivers on your team, why would you be targeting underwhelming tight ends when you have two studs at receiver, unless they're both double teamed? I don't get that. You know, and, you know, use your best players, use your playmakers. Evans is a playmaker. Godwin's a playmaker. I don't know if Gronk is a playmaker anymore. O.J. Howard has never lived up to his hype. Brait's a different story. I'm a big Brait guy. He proved he can get touchdowns, but he's clearly not a blocker, and clearly Arians uses tight ends as blockers. I don't know what he sees in Howard as a blocker, but I just think this is way blown out of proportion. But I'll ask you a question, Ira, if you want to get out of the podcast with your answer to this, you can. I still think Gronkowski is here because that was a package deal to lure or to appease Brady? Your thoughts?
There's no question that Brady and Gronkowski are a tandem. If Jameis Winston's under center, Gronkowski's not here. No, nobody can argue that. Nobody can argue that. Gronkowski's not coming out of retirement to join Jameis Winston. He's just not doing it. With Brady, it ended up being a no-brainer. I think you're onto something there, Lee. And from Brady's perspective, he always had Gronkowski in his mind. He always did, because you want somebody that you've worked with, that you have a history with, and he didn't have one, you know, with Godwin and Evans. He just, or Howard. He did. So it's a little bit of a security blanket. I wonder if Brady's a little bit surprised, Steve, a little bit surprised about Gronkowski's lack of separation. He's used to Gronk as his go-to guy, and now he's not his go-to guy. As long as they're winning, Steve, I don't think it's a big issue. But as Lee said, if they lose this game and it's a 1-2 start and Gronkowski doesn't do anything, this issue is gonna not go away, Steve. It's not going to go away.
Well, Ira, I'm just rooting for Cameron Brate because you told us all he was going to have a breakout year. So maybe he'll get a catch and we can all cheer for the Sage.
That might be the worst forecast in history, gentlemen.
It would not shock me if the salary cap dips as much as we think it's going to dip, or at least I think it's going to dip. You know, I keep reading 10 to 15 million. Let's say it's 15 million. It would not shock me. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would not shock me if you're starting tight end for the Bucs in 2021 is Anthony Eclair.
Whoa.
He's a very good blocker. He's okay at catching. He's a very good blocker, and if you're cutting salaries, he's very team-friendly.
Steve, I'll say this. If another team made an offer for Cameron Brate right now, the Bucs would have to seriously consider it. Almost no matter what the offer is, they'd have to consider it.
Well, we're only two games in, Iris, so it's too early for that kind of stuff. But, yeah, sure, they'd have to at least think about it. And at this point, only two games in, and that's all we have to talk about. Sure, I wouldn't be surprised if they got rid of the three big tight ends this offseason, maybe drafted one in the second round, signed another blocking tight end to put alongside Eclair and compete, and away we go. So it wouldn't be a shocker, but a lot of time left. Ira, Bill Curry Ford sponsors the podcast. We love them. BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E. They have their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles at all times. BillCurryFord.com. You will be at Big Storm Beer, Ira, drinking a Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, probably popping your first one about 2:35 on Sunday in Clearwater. A lot of fun out there with Bucks fans. All the details at joebucksfan.com. And as we heard about our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, they're your first call, not to an insurance company. If you see water, you see mold, call them up 24/7. They will help you out and give you free advice and come out with their thermal imaging cameras, check it out to let you know what's the best steps, because it's serious, and they're mold remediation specialists, and you want to know what's up before you start going down the route of insurance. So Sage, send us out of here with some wisdom. Hopefully it's not about your dentist or your dog or all the other interesting things you like to talk about. Send Bucks fans out into their weekend.
Well, I'm 2-0 in picking Bucks games, and I mean to keep this streak going. And if the Bucks somehow, some way, don't come home from Denver with a victory, then we're all taking a beating this week. We all think the visitors will win. And Lee, if this is the Buck team we think they are, you win games like this. You absolutely win games like this. I'll be at Big Storm in Clearwater, and I'll be toasting a Buck victory.